And the recording is started, which I normally don't get that greeting, but I did this time. So welcome, everyone. Welcome to June 2021 LHON Live. You are listening to Andy Marks, and I'm here with my co-host, Jessica. You there? I'll give you a sec to get unmuted. Feel free to chime in whenever you get there. If by chance people can't hear me, let me know in the chat, or let me know if you can hear me, rather. You are here at LHON Live, June 2021. This is a monthly conference call that we've been hosting since August of 2014. I had the pleasure of meeting Jessica back in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This is now June of 2014. And we were at our first LHON conference for both of us. Although it wasn't the first LHON conference, we quickly realized how beneficial and fun, frankly, it was to meet other people who may be different from us in so many ways, live somewhere different, have different interests. But at our core, because we all share this condition and or have loved ones in our lives who share this condition, there is something that connects us all, and there's something that allows us to share with each other and have common ground, and frankly, have things that we should be sharing with each other to allow us all to take advantage of life the best we can. So we wanted to take those benefits of that conference and spread them out throughout the year without having to meet in Pittsburgh every month. So a couple months later, we started a monthly conference call, which has taken many forms since that month 7 years ago. In its current form, Jessica and I meet here once a month and we discuss lots of topics, many of which we steal from the LHON Facebook group, but others are sent to us by wonderful listeners and callers on these calls. So if you ever have something you'd like us to talk about, feel free to comment in the Facebook group or email us at lhonlive@gmail.com, or frankly, text Jessica or me is always a great way to do that as well. So we've actually started getting more topic requests from folks. So that's always much appreciated on our end. We like to talk about things that people actually want to hear about. But with that, Jessica, have you been able to get unmuted yet?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Fantastic.
Awesome.
How are you?
A fantastic intro. I'm doing great. I guess I'm just having like full-on technical difficulties. My iPad froze and I can just hear you the whole time and I'm like chanting like I'm here. But I'm doing fantastic. I'm actually in scorching hot Arizona. So I feel you, Teresa, and it's hot here. But yeah, so far so good. My puppies have been, or the puppy has been reunited with his brother. So we had two puppies and a toddler. So if you can imagine the chaos in the last week, yeah, it was crazy. But
How
how are
long are you
you?
in Arizona?
I actually fly home Friday. So
Okay.
yeah, so fly home Friday. That gives Jax, my dog, about 2 days to kind of settle in, realize that our house is not as exciting as this one, and it's much cooler. And I actually go back to the office on Monday. So it's a
Oh,
lot of big
wow.
changes coming up. So yeah.
That is, you've been in this job. I'm trying to think, did you work longer in the office or have you worked longer from home now?
Longer from home. So it's actually funny. I feel like I've been this whole week like stressing like I'm starting a new job. Like I actually, well, this is like more people information people want to know, but I have clothes. This girl, I'm like girl talk. I have clothes at my parents' house because that's what girls do when they move to an apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And so yeah, so I feel like I was, and I never actually worked in the summer in the office. So I had all like office worky clothes, like dresses and heels at my parents' house. So I'm like literally bringing clothes back to go back to work. So I feel like I'm starting a brand new job. Like I have to think about how to pack a lunch again and how to like, it's all that new stuff that you don't really, I mean, we've been out of the swing for gosh, a year and a half. And so I feel like I have new job jitters right now, just trying to get organized. And yeah, so take a puppy on the middle of a busy airport and haul with random like two suitcases home and a puppy and new job jitters. Like that's where I'm
I'm very excited to hear how that goes, and you should report
at.
back next month. Let us know if you have new work friends and all that jazz.
I know, right? Like in coffee shops, like all of that, like yeah, super exciting. But how are
Will
you?
your dog fly in the cabin with you?
Yeah, so he's actually since I got him, so when was that? Last November. He's actually done service dog training for every week since November. So it's been pretty intense. He actually flew here as a service dog as well, and he did fantastic. He did really well. I think the biggest thing for him is that all of our practice, it was obviously still in to train a puppy to be very obedient and not let a lot of things distract him during COVID is hard because now like the airports are very busy and there's definitely a hustle. So he would lay on the floor underneath my seat as normal, and that's very normal to him, and he's comfortable there. But all he could see were like no one sat still on the plane the entire time. Like it was like, we haven't all flown for a long time, so it's like a bunch of small children, no one sat still. So Jax was just watching everybody back and forth, and so I think that was pretty intense for him. But yeah, he does great with the plane and kind of just knows his different commands. He oddly knows hand commands. And so if I touch like my nose or my face, or I touch like do certain things with my hands, he knows what to do. So it's pretty cool.
Wow, and you trained him yourself?
I had a trainer come help me, so he told me what to do, and then I would train Jax. Yeah.
Wow, good for you.
All right,
That
so
is
that's
very
fun.
cool. I do not trust myself to be responsible enough, but maybe someday.
Someday.
Good for you. Well, I'm doing okay. It is June. It has been, as Megan knows, very weird temperatures up here in the New York City or New Jersey area. We were 90 degrees 2 weekends ago, and then this weekend it was 54 as a high, and it's just been back and forth and back and forth. And
Oh.
I think it's finally maybe stabilizing, who knows? But it was a nice long weekend for Memorial Day. So happy Memorial Day for everyone here in the US, and happy Memorial Day to everyone not in the US as well. You all can celebrate just as well. But I'm doing well. No real complaining. Life continues to move forward. I'm excited to start getting out more and doing more things. Maybe I will travel somewhere in the next month. Who knows? But life is good.
You're not going
With
to brag
that,
about your music video. You had some sweet dance moves.
oh yeah, well, of course, I had my music video debut, obviously. No, a good friend, what Jessica's referring to, a good friend of mine who's a musician here in the New York City area. He plays guitar for Broadway shows and has his own band as well. But he released a music video and was nice enough to ask me to participate along with dozens of other people. So I'm not special in any way, but he was nice enough to include my image in his video. So thank you for watching,
That was so awesome. I watched him multiple times, and I'm like, "When do you see Andy?" Like, there should be like a
Jessica.
beep so we all know when you're actually popping on screen. But yeah, it was you and Megan, right?
Yes, it was both of us.
Okay, yeah, that's awesome. That's so I was able to pick you out. But yeah, check out Andy's dance moves if you're looking, or find him on Facebook. Just, there's my plug for
Please,
you.
please, of course. I do enjoy to dance. Let's get into topics here. Although I'm sure people love this part of the call as much as anything. So as I mentioned at the top of the call, we bring topics from the Facebook group every month, and also a few topics that are sent our way. So that's what we're going to get into now. Most of these are, we don't have quite as many this month. So if there are things you want to talk about after we open up the call, just let us know. The only real stipulations we have, and we'll let you know if we venture into this, but just as a reminder, Jessica and I are certainly not medical, employment, or legal experts. So if we start getting questions in that realm, rather than answering them ourselves, we might point you in the direction of some experts, but we're happy to hear your questions either way. So with that, let's get into this first thing. So there were a couple posts this month related to this, Jessica. One specific to Apple AirTags, and the other really plugging some upcoming accessibility features related to Apple or Apple products, principally the iOS or the mobile operating system that you'd use from your phone or your iPad. So just wanted to let everyone know about the new Apple AirTags. They're not cheap, so I'd let you know that. I think $49 for a single AirTag, and then I think you get a set of four or five for $100. These are basically things, and thing is the word I'll use because I don't know any better word, that you can attach to items you have that then can be tracked the same way your phone is, in case you don't think your life is tracked by big tech companies enough. You can track other things, including your keys or your sunglasses or whatever you want. So they are tracked the same way your phone is. So if you happen to lose your keys, you can go in your phone in the Find My iPhone app or find my blank app in your iPhone and find it the same way you would if you had lost a phone using your iPad, not using your phone in that case. But there's also, they released during Global Accessibility Awareness Month, which was in May. For those who didn't know, May was Global Accessibility Awareness Month, and Accessibility Awareness Day was May 20-something. So on that day, there was a post in the Facebook group talking about lots of upcoming features that they're planning on launching over the next few months. Most of those haven't launched yet, but it's always nice to know that these big tech companies, Microsoft and Apple among them, Amazon among them, are very focused on accessibility in their products. Obviously, this is due to lots of reasons. I think one of the biggest ones is for compliance reasons, and so is to avoid lawsuits. But also, these companies are starting to learn that that's the right thing to do, and that they want everyone to be their customers, and that a lot of people have disabilities. So we should cater to those folks as well. Anything you want to add there, Jessica, on the Apple accessibility announcements?
No, I actually need to do a full read and kind of get the whole scoop. But I wonder what the vibe is on the AirTags that you're talking about versus Tiles. Have you used Tiles before?
I have not, but you using the word vibe makes me think that you are all of a sudden Gen Z, which is very cool of you.
Thank you, as I like, no big deal. So these Tiles, and it's actually funny, I just found one in my purse. It's the problem with Tiles, it's probably the size of like half of a domino-ish. That's like a bad description of it. But it's fairly, I mean, I think it's big.
Is it as thick as a domino? That sounds really thick.
No, it's not. It's probably half the size of the thickness of a domino. I'm trying to think what else it could be. It's kind of like the size, it's bigger than a Monopoly or like a Scrabble letter. Definitely okay. Bigger than that. But so I was actually, because I would lose my
You're
keys. Like it
a
was
game aficionado with all of these references. Yeah.
I would lose my keys like it was my second job. And so I would put a Tile on it. The downfall of a Tile is I think it's probably in the same price range, but it would die pretty quick. And then what do? Like the Tile dies and then you have to go buy another one, or do you have to go pay $30 for like a Tile battery replacement? Oh, wow. And so I don't know if that, I would be interested to see how they compare and like size wise and things like that. Obviously super easy to have it on your phone, but the same thing with a Tile, you would just download the Tile app and you could still track most things. I wonder what its radius is. I have so many questions on these tags because I could see a lot of uses, especially for us as we, I don't know, misplace things, lose them. People have told me to put a Tile on jacks. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of cool uses for it.
Yeah. I mean, a bowl to put your keys in is pretty affordable. So there's that as an option as well, but I don't know. I mean, I've never used anything like that. And in fact, I don't even know that I have my iPhone settings correctly done on my phone, but I am a creature of habit when it comes to like, I always have the same three things in my left pocket, my AirPods, my phone and my chapstick, and the same two things, my wallet, my keys in my right pocket. And that's the case no matter where I am. And if I'm at home, they go in the same bowl. But I'm super, super interested to hear others' experience with either Apple AirTags, although that's very recent and you would be super cool to have already used them, or Tiles or anything else, ways to make sure you don't lose things.
Yeah, for sure. That's a great topic, though, especially, gosh, keys, everything else.
Now that everyone is getting back out of the house and routines are starting to be a thing again, it's interesting to hear what folks are doing because I'm certainly out of my usual rhythm when it comes to how I do things. So there's that. Next topic, we'll move ahead. Someone asked this month specifically about photography, which I always think is, I think it's cool when there are things that people want to do that I think others, typically sighted folks, would assume that we aren't interested in doing. And we're actually going to get into that as a future topic, but let's stay on photography right now. Have you ever done much photography either before or after losing vision, Jessica? And what's your experience there and or advice for folks with LHON trying to get into photography?
I haven't done a ton of photography before or after. I mean, I guess I always kind of took the cool picture with my iPhone. And actually, we recently, like 3 days ago, got family pictures taken. And they actually took our pictures with an iPad. And actually, also recently, I just did a like a video for actually one of the board of directors, one of the boards that I serve on, and we did my professional video with an iPad. So don't know much about it, except for it, the capabilities of an iPad are just kind of blow my mind, especially with the editing and being able to kind of cut and paste with like splicing and things like that. And gosh, yeah. So not much experience, but I keep seeing it being used everywhere I go for all media. But what about you?
I do very little in the realm of photography. I would like to have more experience there. I mean, you've seen a couple of TikTok videos. I like that realm better, which I guess is videography and very adjacent. And I just am a bigger fan of words and voices than I am just still imagery. I've never been, I like performing arts more than the visual arts typically, at least growing up I did. So that is probably more of the space that I have experience in, although I certainly can appreciate beautiful photography. I just don't have much experience with it myself. I would say it's probably as accessible as it's ever been, given the great quality of pictures that can be taken from iPhones, and frankly, not just iPhones, Google Pixels, and all smartphones that everyone's carrying in their pockets all the time. So I do think there are apps that you can use for editing and all these kinds of things that make it very, very accessible as well.
So back to your dance or your music video. Do you have a tripod? Or how do you do videos in TikToks best?
I do have a tripod. I don't know that that video was recorded using my tripod. I'm not sure. But I do have a tripod that I will use occasionally for some videos. And I haven't always had it, but I do. It makes it much easier to record on your own. If you have someone there with you, there are different things to do. But
no, I was just going to say, especially because, I mean, I picture what I look like when I am looking at something and I've got my nose to my screen. So do you have a tripod to the point that you can like press a button and like start, stop, so you're like not zooming in on the video and having to like edit that out? How do you do that?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I missed you for a sec.
Did I talk too fast?
No. I was reading something. I apologize.
Oh, okay. So when you're doing like a TikTok video or you're doing something, if your phone is on your tripod, do you have something that enables you to start or stop the video? Just because, I mean, I picture myself when I use my phone, or if I'm looking at a video close, my nose is to the screen. So how do you do that without having to edit it a bunch?
I don't. I edit it a bunch. So when I'm doing videos, when I'm doing TikTok videos, there are probably 12 to 15 different clips that I'm recording separately. And each of those I trim down from the beginning and from the end, so it's all seamless. But those are all recorded separately, and I press play, get where I want to be, say what I want to say, do what I want to do, come back. And if I didn't edit them, I would be walking in and out of the frame constantly. So yeah, I don't have a good fix for that. I know there are fixes for that, but I'm going to end up editing it anyway for the time that, when I start speaking. So that's fine.
Okay, gotcha. Oh, okay. So TikTok, you can like slice and dice versus like I do Marco Polo with my family all the time. And yeah, like they see my nose and my eyeball and then I'm like, oh, hi, da, da, da. Or like Marco Polo, you know, when there's like instant videos and I hit one button, hello, and I hit one button and I'm like, whoop, and that's it. Hope that went well. Sound like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll move forward because I think this is a topic that was posted about in the group this month, and one that was kind of requested separately as well. And I really like the way that it's been phrased a number of different times. Basically, the topic is around assumptions and assumptions that we all make, even as blind people about other blind people, or about as blind people about other people with disabilities. And I think it's really important for us to kind of socialize those, or I guess recognize those assumptions that we're making, recognize those assumptions that other people are making about us. That's really the first step toward maybe eliminating those from our vocabulary and eliminating those from who we are, so we can empower other people. Lots of times those come in the form of good intentions. We all have family members who are very well-intentioned, but maybe say a thing that is offensive, and it at its root is an assumption that is probably not true. So I know I'm being very high level here, Jessica, but do you have any examples of things like that that you've dealt with and how you like to address them or even combat them?
Ooh, yeah. I mean, gosh, so I think I've been affected for almost 10 years, which kind of sounds like a long time, but I feel like it was just yesterday. Sometimes, and I feel like it was been forever some other days. I don't know. Yeah, I feel like this happens often, and I think it's just human nature that we'll always run into this just because you meet different people and things like that, which is so tough and frustrating, but like, and I've learned, most of you know me on this call, I'm not very patient. So the problem is I need to gain some patience and just like deep breath and like understand that people are coming from a good place and they may not mean what they're saying or trying to come across super harshly. And so, yeah, I'm trying to think of an example. Like, honestly, it happens all the time. I think I talk about this with makeup all the time. So I'll have friends that will be like, oh my gosh. And we'll lean in, lick their thumb. And this is pre-COVID. And lick their thumb and come and like wipe something off my face. And I'm like, oh God, what on earth? Like, and they're like, sorry, you just had mascara. And I'm like, okay, hey, Jessica, you could think, wow, that's awesome. I feel super lucky that I have really close friends that feel like it's completely okay for them to lick their thumb and come into my face and take off some of my mascara. And then I'm like, oh, awesome. I feel like I'm now 4 years old. And now that they're my mother and I'm the small child, this is super annoying. And so I'm like, okay, Jessica, choose one and be nice. But like, it's, you know, like they mean well and but like, don't like make me feel like a small child or don't like belittle me, you know, like there's that, or like, I'll be,
don't do things for me sometimes too. Like let it be known. You can say nice, like you wouldn't take something out of my teeth. You can treat my mascara the same way. You can say, hey, you got a little something. And yeah, I think that's like true of everyone. Something. I mean, your shirt's inside out, whatever it is. I don't need help doing it. I need help knowing that it needs to be done. And that's great. I appreciate you as a friend doing that. But yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's all just kind of how, especially how people say something like, oh my God, it's hilarious. I actually had my shirt on inside out yesterday. And my brother walks up to me. He's like, oh, you want to know what size you are in tag? So I can tell you right now. And I'm like, haha, that's funny. Oh, my shirt's inside out. Like, thanks. But his delivery was hilarious. He was like, oh, look, I know what size you are. Versus like coming in, licking your thumb or whatever, or like we'll be walking and someone will be like, stop, as if we're playing like the red light, green light game. And I'm like, okay, first of all, we're not in elementary school. Like, and this is not Frosty, like stop yelling, stop. Like what's happening around me that I'm abruptly stopping and I don't know, like, tell me, like, hey, by the way, something's coming up, or like be descriptive. So yeah, I think I just, my best advice is honestly like deep breath and like explain like, oh my gosh, hey, it'd be really awesome to know my surroundings. I would love for you to tell me like you see something at the corner of your eye. I think there's something coming, or say stop and then be like, hey, sorry, that was super abrupt, but this is what just happened. This is what's happening. I mean, you know, we're still humans. We still want to know what's going on. Like, keep us aware. I mean, you know, like,
yeah,
so
I think a lot of this, I mean, it makes me think about representation just in media a lot. And a lot of people talk about how representation matters, not about like having blind people in shows, but having blind people who aren't defined by their blindness. And I think some of that is equally true in the way our friends talk to us. Like anytime someone has conversations with me, and frankly, most of my conversations do not involve my blindness, but I know a lot of people rarely have conversations that don't involve their blindness. And I think it's really powerful for friends to invite us into conversations that never mention that, like, oh, I'm blind, but allow us to bring that up when we want to, but don't constantly bring it up for us. Because even when people are trying to be optimistic and say, hey, your life's pretty great because of XYZ, like, more often than not, they're naming something that would be a silver lining about being blind, as opposed to something great about my life that has nothing to do with being blind. Whether they say, like, hey, totally, at least you don't have to drive and deal with traffic anymore, or at least you don't have to see this something ugly on the street, or whatever it is, or see that pigeon that's really ugly on the street, whatever it happens to be. It can be a, hey, at least you're really cool or very funny, or whatever it happens to be that is unrelated to this. I mean, I think it's important for us to just combat those assumptions as people in general. I mean, yesterday was the start of Pride Month, and there are assumptions for every different disenfranchised group that we all just need to be aware of and resist those assumptions for ourselves. Frankly, I don't think we are immune to them, even though we are a part of this community. I certainly still make assumptions about blind people all the time. And I am one of them. I am, and it's hard not to, when you are some people who have kind of gotten over and or overcome some of these blindness things, to think of yourself as an exception and still think, oh, well, most blind people are still XYZ, as opposed to the way that we all should be looking at it, which is that empowering everyone and not challenging everyone with those assumptions, because all of these blind people, including ourselves, already have a tall task ahead of ourselves without the misconceptions and bad perceptions that we have to face.
Yeah, totally. And I think like, and it's also kind of vice versa, because sometimes it's just like some people like, and I'm using like some people very, very generally, and not just LH1, but like in general, people will say like, you have no idea what it's like walk a day in my shoes, but like they don't, and we don't want them to. So like say, and be descriptive, like, hey, this really sucks when you do X, Y, and Z, or like, hey, this is actually what I see. I was like, so I dated this guy for like a hot second, and he was super curious on because he would send me pictures of like what he was doing or his family or vice versa, and so he'd be like, what can you actually see in this picture? And it was a totally interesting perspective, because he was super curious to understand what I could see, and so it was a good perspective to kind of understand. Because people send me pictures, I'm sure everybody on the call can relate. People send a picture and I'm like, I have no idea what this is. It looks like a big mosh of like stuff. And so then I'll have to write like, photo description, please. Or like, so what is this? Question mark, like, or something. But people will be like, you have no idea what it means. But then when sometimes people want to take the time to really learn, like embrace that and be like, oh, hey, so if you send me a picture with like, I don't know, a ton of stuff going on in the background, and like your entire family is in the woods taking a super cool picture, I won't see a thing. But if it's just a, if it's just like a selfie of you and your, I don't know, in your car,
a white wall, yeah,
and there's nothing super busy, that's what I can see best. So it was this very interesting, like, quote unquote, activity, because he was sending me pictures back and forth, and I'm like, nope, I can't see it. Yes, I can see that, but to understand that, so to kind of have that, like, you have no idea what I like, how it feels, or how I feel, or what it's like. No, we don't want you to know what it's like, but let me take 5 minutes and 2 minutes and explain, like, yes, I can see this picture, this is what's easier for me to see, or no, it'd be really helpful if you kind of said certain things, or no, you can't make the assumption because I can't see that someone came over to my house and did my makeup for me this morning, because like, booyah, no, I did that. Or, you know, like different things like that. There's so many assumptions that we make of people that maybe people just need to like, oh, hey, like, I really appreciate that. Like, maybe that was just something that you probably assumed, but like, hey, this is actually, I actually cooked this meal and it's freaking fantastic. Don't you think? Or like, nope. So you think somebody else did my hair? That's awesome compliment. So, but no, I actually did it. Do you have any tips or tricks? Or like, yeah, I use this awesome new product, you know, like spin it. And I think that's helped me a ton too, especially when people kind of come in hot with something that they think that they're being nice about, it comes across as like, and then I want to just like come back swinging, like, listen here, but I want to come back better with like a positive kind of connotation of like, actually, no, maybe it was just kind of, maybe you misunderstood, or maybe you actually, oh, let me kind of share. Maybe you're just unaware, you know?
Yeah, no, but first of all, kudos to you for actually asking for photo descriptions, because I think we've all been there where someone sends us a picture in a group message and we all just like wait to see what other people do. And then we do the same. Ha ha, that's hilarious. Whatever it was so funny. The picture you sent. Right. I loved it. So good for you for like actually asking, because I've done both. I've asked, but I've also just said, hey, this is hilarious, or that's awesome. Proud of you for the thing that you did.
That's actually been a pretty good icebreaker dating, is to talk about photo descriptions, because audio descriptions getting kind of more mainstream, and then people are understanding what photo descriptions are. So it was a really good icebreaker. So I don't know. And they're like, what's a photo description? You know, like, and then people find it to kind of, it's like when you tell somebody like, I can't see your face, and people are like, oh my God, I'm super hot. When people want to ask about a photo description, they like some, I say they, but like some people kind of take some light of humor with it. They'll be like, super hot, awesome, hot looking guy strolls the beach or something. And like, you know, people come up with some pretty funny descriptions. So kind of fun way to like, you know, ice break with friends or I don't know, your latest new boyfriend or mine.
I love when audio description describes how attractive people are in movies. I always think it's hilarious.
Right?
Yes, it is very funny. But
what if they are that good looking? No one knows.
I'm sure they are. that's what they're paid for. All right. Well, before we open up the call, I know the last two things we wanted to call out were two conferences coming up. First, and less important, is the NFB conference coming up in early July. So for those interested, you can find more information at nfb.org. But there will be a virtual conference with the NFB National Conference. So if you're interested, feel free to check that out. More information at nfb.org. But more importantly, the UMDF annual conference, which the LA Joint Conference is always partnered with, is virtual again this year. And it is taking place June 25th and 26th. So the June 25th portion will principally be the broader UMDF sessions. And on the 26th, there are three separate LHON related topics that will be covered in unique sessions there. You can find more information at umdf.org, or you can also find lots of information on our Facebook group or in the emails that you have been getting. If you're on this call, I assume you're getting those emails as well. Jessica, anything specifically related to either of those conferences you want to add before we open up the call?
Well, I'll time box me in a minute and 30 seconds and gush about how awesome the LHON conference will be. Even though it's not in person, there's a ton of information that's going to be jam-packed in there to just kind of be aware of knowledge. Obviously, knowledge is power, especially in this group with how small but mighty we are. So yeah, I would definitely encourage, I mean, obviously it's, I actually don't know if it's going to be recorded later. We should ask, I was like, Lissa should chirp in. But there's a ton of information, a lot of resources and information that'll be shared. Some you may know, and some you may not know, but I think it's definitely going to be worth your time to jump on and to listen in.
My assumption is it's recorded. So we'll have Lissa correct me if I'm wrong, but I assume it's recorded. But yeah, we encourage you all to be there. As I mentioned at the start of the call, that conference is really what was the catalyst for doing these calls every month. So if you get anything from these calls at all, you will get a lot more from the conference and all the benefits we get from that. Obviously, some of those are most ideal for an in-person gathering. And we all obviously are going to look forward to that in 2022. But in the meantime, get what you can from this year's conference. And I believe it is free as well, which is not always the case when it's in person. And we also have the benefit of everyone being able to join from wherever you happen to be. So a couple really big benefits that aren't always the case. So I would recommend taking advantage where you can. With that, we'll go ahead and plan to get the call back open. Just to remind everyone, in case you have questions, the topics we talked about this evening, we talked about Apple's accessibility technology. We talked about photography. We talked about assumptions within ourselves. And then we let you know about a couple of those conferences. So with that, I will request you all to unmute and I can send the request out. But again, due to Zoom's features, I can no longer force you all to be unmuted. But if you have questions, feel free to unmute yourself. Most of you are using the app, so you can unmute actually in the app. And we're happy to take your questions or comments.
This is John Benson again in Eastern Washington State.
Hey, John.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Hi. So a friend of mine's been doing some research kind of for me in the LHON, and she's a retired research scientist, so she just dove into this thing. And she says the number one doctor for this world of ours is in Pasadena. At least she seems to think he's in Pasadena. And then he's doing stem cell trials on his own, along with some pharmaceutical companies in France and the U.S. that are doing joint stem cell trials. But she said this doctor didn't seem to think idebendone really did anything good for this disease. But she said that there was other medicine that he recommended that he thought was helping. But she couldn't narrow that or pinpoint that other medicine. Does anyone know anything about that?
I would say no one here isn't going to be an expert on that. I know nothing about that. Lissa, I don't know if you want to educate us.
John, it's Lissa Poincineau. I would just say a few things. I would imagine the person she's talking about would be Dr. Alfredo Sadoun, because he is in Pasadena and he is recognized as a global leader. So I would agree with her on that point. Okay. I would say that he participated in the gene therapy trials that GenSight conducted, but gene therapy trials are not stem cell trials.
Okay.
Just to be picky, but it's important. Yeah. His location was one of the sites for the GenSight gene therapy trials, not stem cells. He has been on record strongly asking people to stay away from. There are some places that talk about stem cell therapies, and his concern is that that hasn't been brought far enough along yet. So no. Idebenone, I would be surprised that that would be his take on it. I would say that his name is on many of the papers that have published about clinical use of idebenone. And I would be surprised if someone who was affected went to his clinic and wasn't guided that way. I would think that would be generally what happens. But I would also say that she would have also seen that he, because of his depth of knowledge in the field, that has been a location where other things have been trialed. So like 8 years ago, there was something called Epi-743, and 12 patients were on a very small trial with him there. It doesn't mean that his other patients weren't using idebenone. It just means he works on that too. So I would give your friend a lot of credit for doing a lot of good research, but I would just negotiate around the details if that helps. And if you want to shoot me a message, Lissa Poincineau in the Facebook group or via email, lhonpoints@aol.com, and discuss any of this further. Happy to, but don't want to take too long on this topic for the group. So.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks for the comment, John. Just a reminder for everyone here, the call is still being recorded. We'd love to take as many questions now as you have, but at one point we will open up the call for other questions and comments after we turn the recording off.
Come on, people. There's got to be more questions out there.
Okay. Hey, guys, it's Megan.
Lisa. Oh, go ahead, Megan.
Lisa.
No, go ahead.
You first.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Stop being so nice.
Okay, well, I was just going to make a comment first on if you guys haven't seen Andy's dancing ability on the Facebook that he posted there. Andy, I'm quite impressed at your moves.
It's only a snapshot, really.
Well, I know, but I had to look at it a couple times to see which one you were. But I was quite impressed. And also, great call, as always. Couple things you guys touched on. I have no idea what the Apple tag or whatever. I don't know anything about that, so that was good information. But I'm very routine, like you, Andy. I put things back in the same spot all the time, so I don't really have a tendency to lose things. But I do like your comments in regards to people assuming things. Jessica, I ran into the same problem one time with mascara on my face, and of course this is many years ago, so I was, you know, kind of new into it, but wasn't even a good friend of mine. But I was at the school where my son was going to, elementary school, and I had mascara on the side of my nose. And one of my friends said to me, you kind of have some mascara on the side of your nose. And, I mean, she didn't touch me, but she told me. And part of me was like, oh, God, like how long have I been walking around like this? And another part was like, oh, thank goodness she actually came forward and said something. So it was kind of two mixed feelings. You know, like I was glad she told me, but in the same sense too, I was really embarrassed. A lot of times I run into things at my home here when, especially with, are we being recorded? We are.
We are still being recorded.
Okay. A certain individual in my household will show TikTok videos, and I can't see them on my little phone. So I'll say, can you describe it? And it's like, well, it's too hard to describe. And there's where I get really frustrated. So advice, how do I approach that one in a nicely manner, maybe?
That's an interesting question. The one thing I like much better about TikTok than, say, Instagram is whenever you are watching a video on TikTok, you can pause it by just touching it, and then you can use your Zoom features within your iPhone to kind of zoom around on the screen and see different things. Unlike watching an Instagram story or a reel where you, in order to pause the video, you have to touch and hold, which now prevents you from zooming using your three fingers. So I am much prefer TikTok videos to watching Instagram stories, which is the only time I still really have to take screenshots of things, which takes me way back to when I first was diagnosed with LHON and didn't know you could zoom in on a phone. So it's an interesting question though, about like, how do you convince someone that something is worth describing, that like vision isn't necessary? Because at their core, what they're saying is this aspect of life can't be enjoyed without vision, is what they're saying. And that's tough. And I'd like to think if they realize that's what they're saying, they would challenge that within themselves. Because I feel like if they watched Star Wars and were asked to describe a scene in that movie, they would say, it's too hard to describe. But I, for one, have watched it with description on and would tell you that it is not too hard to describe, and they do a great job, and they even call out every Easter egg, which most casual fans wouldn't even know if they were watching it with vision. So I think it may be challenging, and maybe they'll have to take a minute, but it can be done. And I don't know what to say other than that, other than there are some internal things that maybe they need to challenge within themselves about what they think is doable without vision in the world. That wasn't helpful at all. I'm sorry.
No. I don't think I can change this particular individual after 18 years. So, but thank you.
I would say people are still more malleable than we think sometimes. But to your point, changing isn't easy.
Yes.
And it requires wanting to do it.
Absolutely.
The process, for sure.
Yeah. But that's all I have to say. Great call as always, you guys.
Thanks,
Lisa.
Go ahead, Megan.
Same note.
Sorry.
No, thanks.
Oh, sorry.
So for all the JAWS users out there or the Zoom users, has anyone received or had to do an update this morning? I don't know if it was just me or if it was universal.
I saw Bob Banks post about a Zoom text update that will be coming down the pike. I haven't had to do it yet.
Okay. Are you talking about Zoom meeting or Zoom text?
Zoom text. I'm sorry.
Oh, Zoom text. Okay.
I assume.
Yeah, it was like I logged into work and
sorry,
my whole world was upside down. So
do you rely principally on JAWS or Zoom text or Fusion or what?
I use Zoom text with speech.
Okay. Yeah. No, I did not have to do that update. Not yet, at least.
Okay. All right, just a heads
up. I'm on the call. Is there a question that you have on the new version?
No, not like a question, but just kind of the things that you were seeing that were different, you know, the different aspects that were going on with how it reacted to Teams and all of that. So it depends on what you're using JAWS for or Zoom text for. I'm sorry, but... that was kind of my big question because logged into Teams and it reacted totally differently. So it was an interesting day.
Yeah, I think they're still having challenges with Teams. because we use that extensively at work as well. And it could be much better, but also gone through those iterations with other software that we have as well. And it eventually gets improved or fixed. They do have that new control panel. It's kind of a neat feature. I just have to remember to utilize it. Other than that, I think it's just general patches this time. No major functionality changes.
All right, yeah, because my normal settings were dropped and all of that. Right. So I'll just practice patience and all of that.
Yeah, but message me on Facebook if you'd like, and we'll share what we find if you'd like.
Okay, thanks, Bob.
Yeah.
Thanks as always, Bob. I want to say someone else was chiming in around the time Megan said something the second time.
He started saying along the same lines, dot, dot, dot.
If I were to guess, I'd say it was Kevin, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was going to mention along the same lines of what Lisa was talking about. There, have you guys heard of UDescribe?
Ooh,
I have not.
UDescribe is a similar platform to YouTube, and it's for both sighted and unsighted users. And you can request to have videos described. And then there's a group of users that are trying to fill those requests. And it's not TikTok, so it's not for TikTok videos, I guess, but they do all sorts of things. So interesting new resource out there.
That's really cool. I've never heard of that. I assume that's UDescribe spelling out the word you, Y-O-U, as in YouTube.
Yep. Okay. It's done by YouTube.
Very cool.
Oh, okay, cool.
Thanks for bringing that up. Any other questions, comments from folks about anything we talked about or the questions about the conference coming up?
Andy and Jessica, this is Bob again. Good topics. I joined late, but I did catch the last couple topics. This audio descriptions of pictures, my mind went quickly to Scene AI has a description feature of photos. I'm wondering if anybody has success with that.
I'm aware they have that. I haven't used that extensively, to be honest. I know several features Apple's grown their accessibility with image recognition. Facebook obviously has as well. And they're getting strangely good at these types of things, even when alt text isn't available. But I haven't used Seeing AI much in terms of the image recognition piece.
My coworkers actually use this a lot because certain people will send certain coworkers that are either visually impaired or completely blind screenshots. And so, it does a pretty good job of kind of describing what the screenshot is and things like that. And for the record, it called me a young girl with dark hair. I was like, heck yeah. So yeah, so it's accurate is what I'm saying. You should try it out.
Nope. No bug fix there, right?
No.
Nice.
So Andy, what about the conference? I just come in now. So what's the conference? How's LHON doing with the MITO conference that they sent out?
Sure. Others know more than I do, but I'll tell you what I know. So June 25th and 26th is the UMDF conference. The 25th is principally the UMDF portion, and the 26th is where all of the LHON specific sessions will take place. It is virtual, just like last year. It is free, just like last year. It will be recorded. So you can get all of that information. You still need to register, I believe. Okay. So you can do that at umdf.org. And navigate to the registration. Lisa, Jessica, is there anything else you'd like to add specifically? I know we'll be, more information to learn, but.
Yeah, this is Lisa. And I would like to add on that you were talking earlier about the benefit of participating live versus listening to the recording. And one of the benefits of participating live is that there will be live Q&A. For instance, the first session, which starts at the first LHON specific session that starts at 7:40 on Saturday, the 26th, and runs for an hour and 20 minutes, will be the science session. And so there'll be four speakers who will each give like 5 to 10 minute recorded sessions on four different topics, but then we'll open it up for a good, 30, 40 minutes of Q&A. And so people will be able to submit questions in the chat box, and we'll queue those up to the speakers. And if there's time, people could come off mute and ask their question if there's time. But Dr. Rustam Karanja, whom some of you know, he's in Ottawa, Canada, and he's the scientific lead in the Canada group, and he was a fellow with Dr. Shadoon, and he's one of the leaders. So he's going to moderate that session for us. There'll be folks from around the world, actually. We have a speaker from Australia, one from Italy, and then an LH1 plus person here in the US. And then Dr. Shadoon, who was mentioned earlier from Pasadena, he will be there. It gives you a chance to ask some questions if you're there live. And then same thing, there'll be Maria's gonna do a panel with a few folks who will share their stories. And again, if you're there, you can we'll do a Q&A live after that. And then we'll do an update on what's going on in the community, and again a live Q&A after that. So, if you can attend in person, that gives you the chance to ask your questions live. And otherwise, yes, they will be recorded. I'm honestly not 100% sure how that works. I've got a question into UMDF because they manage all the logistics. And what I read is that you have to have registered to get to the recordings, but I'm not 100% sure if that's the case. So we'll find out. And then that's on the 26th. One thing I want to point out also on the 25th is that the UMDF will have a variety of speakers on a variety of topics. And just one point of interest is they're doing a panel session on gene therapy in general for mitochondrial diseases. Well, what's happening with LHON is one of the big pieces of what's happening. So there will be a speaker from GenSide on that panel. And that panel does run from 10:15 to 10:50 California time. I'm sorry, I'm in the Pacific. I need to say everything I said earlier was Pacific time, because that's where I am. That panel will run from 10:15 Pacific, or what's that, 1:15 Eastern, and that runs for about a half an hour. And then they're also doing an open house, what they call it, and so it'll be like a drop-in. So at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, they'll have like an open house where all the various speakers who are working on therapeutics for a variety of mitochondrial diseases will let you kind of drop in and speak to the people from the company, including GenSight. So there's just lots of interesting possibilities on both the 25th, 26th. So yeah, check that out.
Lisa, will this be a lot better than the summit from a couple months ago? Will it be better integration to get into the UMD?
I'm not sure the summit you're talking about, John.
The the CS summit or something? CSUN or something?
Oh, CSUN summit?
Because I got in that one, and that was hard to get. It was get in, but it was tricky. You had to reset your password. So is this an easier way? Because I already registered for the conference, but I'm just wondering if that's all I needed to do.
I don't know anything about CSUN, what they did, but I know that UMDF's conference is running on a Zoom platform.
Okay.
So I imagine that if you register, you'll get a link, and then at the right time, you just click the link and you'll be allowed in as one would with any other Zoom situation, is my understanding. And I know UMDF will have people on call to help if there's problems. So that's what I understand.
Melissa, I hate to say it, but the 25th is a Friday, right? And the 26th is a Saturday?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent.
And so if the, to your point, yeah, the things that are on Friday that you might not be able to attend if you're working. But again, if you've registered, then, you can hear the open house from the GenSider. Yeah, I guess it's hard to attend the open house, but it's 4 o'clock Eastern. So maybe on a Friday at 4, you could participate in the open house if you wanted to.
Yep.
And John, I'll make a bold statement that the CSUN conference was so hard to navigate. So I'm right there with you. It was just hard to jump back in and out, and there's different links, and it was madness. And I know CSUN has recognized that was just chaos. So I have a bold statement, like, absolutely, it's going to be a lot better.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking, though. We're about at the top of the hour, but so I'll aim to turn the recording off shortly, but any last questions that folks want to make sure are on the recording? All right. Well, we will please hang around. We can take more questions in a moment, and maybe Lisa will even tell us who she was talking about earlier. But the next call will be July 7th. I'd just like to remind you all, 7/7/2021. Always the same time, so 8 p.m. here on the East Coast, 5 p.m. on the West Coast in the U.S. Same call and information, same everything. So we will look forward to that next time. As always, you can send us topics at lhonlive@gmail.com or reach out to Jessica Loomer or me, Andy Marks. Thanks so much, and hang around. I'll get the recording turned off right now. Ugh.